In Parshas Balak, we read about the Jewish people towards the end of the 40 years, and they are approaching the land of Israel. And the king of Moab, Balak, the king of Moab, is afraid. Vayogar Moab of Neha'am. Balak, the king of Moab, is very afraid that the Jewish people are going to go through his lands, and he hires a professional sorcerer, Bilam, have a curse will travel, who is known that he has the power of curse, and again, Chazal say he was a Navi, on some level like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he knew, Eis Asher Tevarech Mevarach, he who you bless will be blessed, V'Eis Asher Taor you are, and he who you curse is going to be cursed. And we know the story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed all of Balak's words from cursing into a blessing, and the like. The Shem Shmuel, as well as other Mefarshim, ask a question, and that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jewish people not to wage war against the Moabites. The Moabites are descended from Lot, and that land belongs to the B'nai Lot until the coming of the Mashiach, when that land will go to us, but we're not allowed to wage war. What is Balak afraid of if HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Al Tatsar Es Moav, do not wage war against Moav? Some people answer, Balak didn't know there was such a tzivoy, or Balak was not sure the Jewish people would keep the tzivoy, maybe they would violate the tzivoy, but we cannot wage war against Moav. The Shem Shmuel offers a very, very interesting and beautiful pshat. The Shem Shmuel says that Balak was not afraid that the Jewish people would enter his land and wage war against him. He knew they were not allowed to do that. He was simply afraid that they would enter the land of Israel. And he was determined at all costs to curse them so that even the new generation would die in the desert. Why is he so afraid of Am Yisrael entering the Midbar, entering Eretz Yisrael? The Shem Shmuel explains that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the Dor HaMidbar is not the same way he's going to treat them once they come to Eretz Yisrael. In the Dor HaMidbar, the Jewish people live a hermetically sealed existence. The man comes from Shemayim. They have a well of water. Initially, until Miriam died, it was the bear of Miriam. Afterwards, it's a new well that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. They are surrounded, or they were surrounded, with the clouds of glory until Aaron died, but for most of the time, Anani Hakava. They have the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. They live in a world without trial, without tribulation, without nisayon, without hester panim, without the concealment of the divine. Everything is open, explicit, the Shekhinah, you could see in your eyes. So, when you have a decadent, immoral society like Moab, and they look at the Jewish people who try to keep the Ratzon Hashem and live with the morality of the Torah, that's not a message to them, and that's not a reproach to them, because they could say, yeah, of course they can keep mitzvahs, of course they don't have to steal, they don't have to murder, they don't have to cheat, they don't have to commit adultery, because they don't live in the real world, they live in a world of Man and Be'er and Anana Yaakovod. Yeah, that's not a mussar to us, that's not a message to us. That's not relevant to the real world, that is not relevant to the nisyonos that we face when we have to live in a real society. But what's going to happen when Am Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael? At that point, there's not going to be the man. They're going to have to farm and plant. They're going to have to build cities and dig wells and wage war and have accountants and doctors and lawyers and all sorts of professionals to take care of what needs to be done. And at that point, they're still going to live by the Torah. They're still going to show that the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not contingent on a hanhaga b'derech neis, but they apply to everyday life. At that point, that is a tremendous reproach against the nations of the world. What is your excuse, nations of the world? Now, granted, of course, for Shteitzach, the nations of the world don't have to keep the Torah. That is not their obligation. But at least the seven Noahide laws, not stealing, not committing adultery, all of these different inyanim, establishing a court system that will administer mishpat, that will administer justice. In the Midbar, on some level, the Umos Olam had an excuse. In fact, it's kain what Chazal say, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a Navi like Bilam, who was so great. Because otherwise they would say, if we would have somebody with Moshe Rabbeinu's kochos, we too would have been good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a Navi with all of Moshe Rabbeinu's kochos, and the Navi is Mekalkel. Same thing here. Balak basically says, when they live in the Midbar, we have an excuse. If we would have that experience, we too would live by the Torah or by the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. But we are real people with real problems. And we have to be practical. Life in Eretz Yisrael shows that even with Hester Panim, even with the concealment of the divine, there is still the imperative of listening to the Ratzon Hashem. And that is the Musar, that is a refutation of everything the Umos HaOlam stand for. And that is why Vayogar Mayev Mipnei Ha'am, Mayev has a pachat. Ki Ravhu can be understood a little allegorically, that instead of Ravhu, it was large, it could be interpreted, they were great. Balak himself was makir, the greatness of Am Yisrael. And Memela Balak understood that in Eretz Yisrael, they will continue, although we have our Chatoim there too, but Bedera Klal, they will be Ovdei Hashem. He doesn't want to let them enter. And that is why Bilam cursed them, not because he was afraid of an attack on Moab, but he did not want them to come into Eretz Yisrael. This is what the Shem Shmuel says. Now, if we go weiter in this, again, I want to share with a second thought, and then I want to tie it into the month of Tammuz. On the second level, the Gemara in Brachos says, what was the great talent of Bilam? Right? Why was Bilam's curses so affected? So the Gemara in Brachos says, Yada Bilam l'chavein es hashah. Bilam knew the exact moment. There is a tiny little fraction of time every day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavyachol has anger in the world. And now this doesn't mean, of course, Hashem is angry. The Rambam already explains that we never describe Hashem as having emotions, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing with the world in behaviors that would resemble anger if done by a human being. And this is called Idun Rischa, the time of anger. The Svarim explain that this is the Shirish. Why is it important to have a time of anger in the world? Because this puts into the world the Midas Adin, the fear of God's judgment that keeps us Torah observant to a large extent. That the Midah of Yira is that our neshamas have a chush, that there's a certain small time of the day that's called an Idun Rischa. And this is Merumas in the Pasuk in Tehillim that we recite every day in Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, Ki Rega Biapai, there is a Rega, small amount of time, Biapai, in Idun Rischa. And Bilam had a talent that he knew exactly when that Idun Rischa was, and he would curse during that Idun Rischa, and if you tap into that time of anger, then indeed, it's like pushing the button for the A-bomb or whatever it is. There'll be a lot of kas and chema that's released into the world. The Gemara even tells us, Rebbe Meir had people that were harassing him, that were mitzayer him, so he actually wanted to curse them, and he waited for the Idun Rischa, and Chazal actually say that for that little tiny fraction, really less than a second, the red comb of the rooster turns white. So if your eyes are open and you see it turn white, you can curse during that moment. And he tied the rooster to the bed to watch that rooster, stare at that rooster. Or you could miss it by blinking your eye, but he kept his eye open, whatever it is. And the Gemara says he fell asleep, he missed the opportunity, and then he realized it was a siman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you don't do it. And the Gemara goes on with the famous Gemara that I'm sure you've all heard about, that Bruria, his wife, gave him a tochacha, that David HaMelech said, Yitamu chatoyim in aretz, we pray that sins should vanish from the world, not the sinner, and therefore it is not right to be mispalel, that the Rishayim should die, but one is mispalel, that the Rishayim should be chayzer b'tshuva. So Bilam was yada lechavein es hashah. Bilam knew the Idun Rischa in the world. That's why Bilam is described as Ayin Ra'ah. Ayin Ra'ah means you're always looking to see the bad. He became a mumcha, an expert, in always finding the negatives to exploit. Taisus in Maseches Brachos asks the obvious kasha. L'chaira, if it's such a tiny fraction of time, what could you say as a curse that would be within that time frame? There's nothing you could say. You start talking, it's already past the time. So Tosus himself gives two terutzim. One answer is, as long as you begin the curse within the Zman, you're allowed to be mamshich, so to speak. So Bilam began it, and therefore, even if it went beyond that point, it worked. By the way, some early Sifrei Chassidus, when they were trying to give a hisnatzlus, again, it's not halacha l'maisa, obviously, about why they sometimes did not keep Zman Kriya Shma, Zman Tefillah, they wanted to say, you see, by cursing, as long as you begin the right time, you could be mamshich afterwards. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of kindness is much greater than the midah sadin, kal v'chaymer, for good things, as long as you begin, of course you have to begin, as long as you begin bizman, you could be mamshich afterwards. Suffice it to say that we do not paskin that way, so please do not take this as a halacha. That's teretz number one of Tosfos. Teretz number two of Tosfos is, there actually is a short curse that Bilam could have gotten in, even within the Eden Rischa. And that short curse is the word kalem. Kalem is spelled chaf, kaf, lamed, mem. Destroy them! A two-syllable word, and that could be recited within the Eden Rischa, and that could turn into a churban. There is a thought from the Chassam Sefer that there's an inner meaning to the curse of Bilam, cursing him with kalem, because kalem could be read as a Rashi Teva, could be read as an acronym. And Kalem could stand for Kolayos, or Kaved, but let's say Kolayos are the kidneys, Lev is the heart, and the final Mem is the Moach, the mind. The kidneys, according to Chazal's typology, represents the seat of passion and emotion. The Lev is also connected to feeling. And the Moach, which is the brain, is the seat of moral and spiritual consciousness. Bilam is effectively saying that the greatest curse a human being can have is that their mind, their mental and spiritual capacities are enslaved, are subordinated to the emotions and the passions, in which we use our intellect. Like imagine, we have, for example, we have in the world multi-billion-dollar entertainment industries, which employ creative people, brilliant people. And everything they do is in the service of the diversions that take people away from spirituality and Kedusha. There's a Moach there. They certainly have a Moach, right? Brilliant, brilliant people. And all of it is in the service of the hedonistic passions and lusts that people have. And Bilam understood that if you want to destroy a nation, the Chassam Sefer says, you want to destroy a person, make his mind secondary and subordinate to the pulls of the taivas and the desires of the world. And again, the reason why Bilam understood that that's the biggest korban of a person is because indeed Bilam himself understands the tragedy of his own metzias. Bilam is a Navi that is shokol k'meisher Rabbeinu. In terms of Nevias, in terms of Darga, in terms of what he comprehended, it was phenomenal, totally beyond our Madriga. And yet, Bilam, as Pirkei Avos says, had the Ayin Ra. He was consumed with the jealousy of begrudging the taiva of other people. Nefesh rechava. He had insatiable desires for money and for taivas. And ruach gavoa. He was filled with arrogance. But the Chassam Sefer is suggesting that Bilam had one additional quality within him. And that's the quality of self-awareness, in which Bilam understood himself, the tragedy of the person who is blessed with talents, blessed with kochos, blessed with abilities, but he's destroyed from within with his jealousy and his taiva and his kavod that give him no rest, that give him no satisfaction, that makes him see the train wreck of a life that could have been so holy and so elevated, precisely based on the hasagos of Nevuah that Bilam had. So the Chasam Sofer is telling us, when Bilam's curse was Kalem, he's giving Klal Yisrael the curse, may they be like him. Right? And that's the biggest possible curse that even Bilam could think of. May you be a nation whose moach is subordinate and enslaved by the lave and the kloyos. Now, the Chasam Sofer points out quite beautifully, the opposite, just reverse the letters of Kalem, and instead of kloyos lave moach, you get the word melech. Who is a king? Right, Chazal say, a gibor, a hero, is kovesh es yitzro, he conquers the Yetzer Hara. The real king, and B'nai Yisrael are called B'nai Malachim, is someone, mem, lamed, chaf, the moach, the mind, meaning the spiritual and intellectual sense of what the Ratzon Hashem is, through Limud HaTorah, through thinking about Avodas Hashem, it rules and directs our lev and our kloyos. That is a melech. Again, Hashem does not want us to be automatons. Hashem wants us to feel. He wants us to have emotions. He wants us to be excited and passionate in Avodas Hashem. But not like an uncontrolled train. Rather, it's the moach, it's the seichel that directs how we respond in every case. That's why we find, for example, among great gedolim, that sometimes it looked like they were totally angry. They were upset about something, and they mamish, you know, gave tochecha, and they raised their voice. And normally, when we get angry, you know, it's hard for us to calm down afterwards. We're all shaken up. But there kama v'kama maisim, but the Chafetz Chaim, who would sometimes, like, when he felt it was necessary, he would express anger as if he was all riled up, as it were. Then afterwards, a second later, immediately afterwards, learned with yishuv hadas, with calmness. And the altar of Kalim was the same way. And the getter was, they were not functioning on an emotional level. An emotional level, you simply lose control. And when you lose control, how do you get back into control? Lehepech, they made a rational decision. Al pi ha-Torah at this moment, whatever the cheshbon was, I have to give mussar, I have to give tochecha, I have to show that something is not right. I have to express anger. When I've done my mitzvah, I put my anger in a box, not to be used unless absolutely necessary. This is melech. The moach is mashpia on the lev and the kloyos. A human being is not a runaway horse or a runaway train or a bus out of control. The human being is machlit with the seichel. What does Hashem want me to do at this moment? Sometimes, although rarely, the Eibishter wants me to express some level of kas. Again, rarely, and one has to be very, very careful. But it's never a matter of I'm losing control. A person can't lose control. Moach. You want to be a melech? Kol Yisrael. Man malchi rabbanan. Who are malachim? The Rabbanan, call Yisrael, at least we're B'nai Malachim, even if we're not under Madrega to be a Melech Mamish. We're B'nai Malachim. And Barah Kara Diavua, a son resembles the parent, as it were. And that son, we too have to be Malachim. Bilam's curse was Kalem, and call Yisrael are Malachim, and the opposite. And that's indeed, the Chasam Sofer says, that is why the Torah uses the Lashon, V'yafoch Hashem es haklolo livracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reversed Bilam's curse into a bracha. The word melech is used many times in Bilam's brachas. The Chasam Sofer says he wanted to say kalem. Hashem was mahapech, that it should be the idea of melech. I remember hearing years ago from the old Basner Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the father of the present Basner Rebbe, that he used to say, now some psychologists don't like this, but he said that when he grew up, his father used to hit them if they misbehaved, if they needed, right? So in those days, hitting was a little more common. But he said, His father always waited 24 hours after the child did something. He would never hit him b'shas maisa. The reason is because the father was chayshesh, that if he was annoyed or he was upset, he would be acting out of his upsetness. And that's not l'tayelus of the child. And indeed, on some level, it's a form of abuse of the child. You can't use, well, I can hit somebody because I'm mad, I'm upset. He waited 24 hours, so the anger would go away. And then he made a cheshbon. Is this what my child needs? Or is this not what my child needs? If my child needs it, I'm going to do it. But not because I'm angry. I'm going to do it because it's the Ratzon Hashem. This is how I am mechanech my child. You see a similar thing by David HaMelech, by the way, that there's a person in the book of Shmuel, Shimi ben Gera, who cursed David HaMelech when David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom. And Yoav ben Tzruya, David's general, David's nephew, wanted to kill Shimi ben Gera. And David HaMelech said, no, if the Eibishter didn't want me to be cursed, he would not have been able to curse me. I have to be makabel this curse. Be ava, and don't do anything to Shimi ben Gera. Now that's a wonderful thing, but one of the often akashas is, at the beginning of the book of Malachim, when David is on his deathbed, he basically tells Shlomo HaMelech, find a way to punish Shimi ben Gera. What about the fact that David HaMelech was makabel biava? So the Bali Musar say that that's the pshat. David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom. His own son wants to kill him. David is distressed. He's anxious. He's afraid. And here somebody's coming and being mavazehem. How does David HaMelech feel? Of course he's upset. Of course he's agitated. David HaMelech is not going to punish the Rasha that's chay of Misa. And Shimi ben Gera is chay of Misa al pi din. Because moreid b'malchus. You rebel against the king, you certainly can be killed. But David was chayshesh, that if I act in the heat of the moment, I am a kalem personality, koloyais lev moach. He waited. He waited for more than a year. Because then he calmed down. He was no longer in the situation. And then he made a cheshbon, that in order for the covet of the melech, which is a mitzvah of the Torah, this has to be done. And exactly this idea, that one does not simply strike out and then say, oh, it's justifiable. Even if a person has to be angry, it has to be b'tayras mitzvah, not b'tayras, I've lost control. That's a destruction. This is what the Chassam Sofer says. Coming specifically to the month of Tammuz, we know, of course, that this is the month that is beginning the period of time towards the middle of Shivas Rebbe Tammuz. We're going to begin our mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. And in mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, our primary avoda is to look at ourselves and look at the reasons why there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash and try to be misaken. Essentially, we start by making ourselves, by building the Mikdash within our panimius, within our personalities, by trying to eradicate the sinas chinam, by trying to eradicate things like kina, the jealousy, the taiva, the lust for sensual pleasure in an excessive way, the kavod that creates such divisions between Klal Yisrael, that create a merchak between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. And only by creating within our hearts and our souls a makam for Ashras HaShchina. Because Vasuli Mikdash, we make for Hashem a Mikdash for Shechanti B'Seicham, so Hashem will live within us, not B'Socho, not in the building, but within us. And therefore, Befrat, this is a time of year where we very much focus on building the Mikdash Shebelev, the Beis HaMikdash in the life. Rav Sadek writes, Rav Sadek brings from the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is a very early Kabbalistic work. Some are miyachasit to Avram Avinu. Some are miyachasit even to Adam HaRishon. Very, very early. And it deals with the different combinations of the Aleph Beis, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaref, he combined the spiritual powers of the different letters to create the worlds that he created, the universe. And each thing is a tzirif. For example, this is how other Marishan was makir. How did other Marishan know to call a lion an Aryeh? Who told him? Like, you know, there was no... The answer is that Aryeh, Aleph, Resh, Yud, Hey, represents a certain spiritual combination of kochos in those letters that when they're brought together, they produce a lion. Adam Arishon did what scientists call reverse engineering. He looked at the final product and he was able to be makir the spiritual powers that resulted in that product, and then made it, this comes from Aleph Resh Yud Hey. This comes from Gimel Mem Lamed, right? Because he was able to see each letter had a koach. When you're mitzaref the letters in a certain order, you get certain results. It's chemistry, spiritual chemistry, so to speak, how everything's connected. So what Sefer Yetzirah does, it does many things, but one of the things that Rav Tzedek always comments on is that every month is connected to certain letters and certain kochos. And Rav Tzedek brings from Sefer Yetzirah the following sentence. And again, obviously, even with Rav Tzedek's explanation, it's very deep and complicated. I'm going to give a very, very simplified presentation, not because I necessarily know a deeper one either, but basically what I understand and try to keep it relatively accessible to us. And he says, Himlich ois ches. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the letter ches a melech, Al Hariya, on the faculty of vision. You'll always see that combination. Some letter is connected to some faculty. Right? That's the every month is that way. And Tammuz is the letter Ches that is Mechubar to the Chush of Ri'iyah. What's the Sheiches? What's the letter Ches? What's the Chush HaRi'iyah? What is the connection to the month of Tammuz? Rav Tzedek starts off with an important yesod. And this is a general yesod that is relevant everywhere. And he says, the first appearance of any word, letter, or idea in the Torah is the essence of what that idea is, B'chol HaTorah Kula. It's the Sheiresh, it's the root. So, even something like the first time a letter appears in the Torah, it's communicating something about the nature of that letter. The first ches that appears in the Torah is chayshech al pnei sahaim. There was darkness on the face of the depths. That is the first ches in the Torah, right? The world was tayu vavayu, confused, jumbled, empty. Chayshech al pnei sahaim. There was darkness over the face of the deep. V'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei amayim. And the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hovering over the water. And then afterwards, V'yomer Elokim, Hashem said, Yihi Or. Now, so Ches connotes the idea of Chayshech, darkness. Re'iyah. What is the first time that the word vayar or re'iyah, sight, appears? That's actually the next verse. When Hashem made the light, Yihi Or V'yihi Or, vayar Elokim es ha'or kitayv. So ches is merumas to chayshech, and re'iyah is merumas to or. Because the first time we have ches in the Torah is the pasuk of chayshech, and the first time we have the word vayar in the Torah is seeing the or. We know, of course, that or is connected not only to physical light, but even more so, or is connected to the light of the Torah, the light of Hashem that is encapsulated in the light of the Torah. So what the month of Tammuz represents is the superimposition of Choshech on the ability to see the light of Torah. That doesn't sound too good at first glance. Meaning, Re'iyah is the ability to see Torah. That's the Tov, the Or. But the Ches is Choshech. Himlich Choshech. Or Himlich Ches. Himlich Ches al Re'iyah. Doesn't sound good? Maybe it's not the right shmooze when we still have 6 weeks for this month. But hear what Rav Tzaddok says. He gives us a phenomenal Havana. He says, this Chayshech is the Kayach of Tarish Abal Peh. What's the pshat? We're leaving the month of Sivan. We've left the month of Sivan. Sivan was the month in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Aseres HaDibros. The Talmud Yerushalmi says like this, if there wouldn't have been a Chet HaEgel, the Torah would have been given to us with absolute clarity. We would never forget anything. We wouldn't even need the process of Torah Shebal Peh, because by reading the Torah Shebichsav, we would have a re'iyah, we would literally see everything. Explicit, clear, pashut. There would be no machlokas. There would be no shichacha. There would be no need for things like the Yud Gimel Midos where we're darshaning. It just would have been beferish. And that's called re'iyah, vayar Elokim esor, one sees the light. But what happened in Tammuz? Well, the 17th of Tammuz was the 40th day. You know, Moshe was supposed to come down. Moshe comes down. They think he came down late. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Chet HaEgel. As a result of the Chet HaEgel, the first Luchos are broken. And Moshe has to be mispalel, and then eventually he goes up in the Rosh Chodesh Elul and comes down on Yom Kippur with the second Luchos. But here is an important point. The Torah that we got, Mikayach, the second Luchos, is not the same as the Torah we would have gotten as a result of the first Luchos. The Torah of the first Luchos, we were like Adam Arisha in Kaida Machet, we were immortal. There would have been clarity. There would have been no machlokas. There would have been no shichacha. There would have been no ambiguity. But as a result of the Chet HaEgel, we're kind of the Torah in a new way. We're kind of the Torah through having to struggle, having to work, having to go through the process of darkness. The Medrash Tanchuma says, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, Ha'am ahochim b'chayshech ro or gadol. The nation that walked in darkness will encounter light. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Elu Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is described as walking in darkness. Because what do we do when we learn a blot of Gemara? We're going through this possibility and that possibility and maybe that svara and maybe that svara. We don't know for sure. We're digging. And the Eibishter didn't give us a definite answer. He basically said, I'm giving you the klalim, figure it out. And as a result, there's ambiguity, there's mavucha, there's confusion. We walk in darkness. And that came in the month of Tammuz, where the absolute clarity of Sivan, of the potentiality of Sivan, because of the Chet HaEgel, Himlech Ches, Chayshech, became dominant in our Re'iyah. But Rav Tzaddok says the following. Rav Tzaddok brings from the Zayar that although the first appearance of open light is in the Pasuk, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, there is in fact an Or HaGanuz. There's a concealed light that existed even in the Chayshech. And that is a deeper light. That is a greater light. That is the light that existed in the Chayshech. Again, he brings it here. I'm just going to tell you words, not that I can say I understand them. That he says, in the Shem Havaya, the first letter Yud is the Or that Hashem brings into the world. But the yud has a pintel yud. There's a tag, a kutso shel yud. The kutso shel yud is a higher level of or that is gonuz in the chayshach. And that is the or that is available for those who learn the Torah Shebal Peh. So on one hand, it's a tremendous burden. Chazal are telling us the process of growing in Torah by definition requires choshech. We stumble in darkness. We have to figure out what svara is right. How do I learn this? What's the dimyan? Are these two things the same or are they different? Sometimes we compare things that are really different. And sometimes we differentiate things that are the same. We have machlokas. We have different ways of applying things. And Hashem wants us to be His partners in creating this emes. But alibid the emes, this taps in not to the visible, obvious or, but the or that is uncovered from the darkness. And that is called the or gadol. So the month of Tammuz, Rav Tzadok says, is mesugal to uncover the nakuda of or in the kutso shel yud. The or haganuz, the concealed light, that is even prior to the open light of Ayomer Elokim Yehi Or. The or that the Navi Yeshayo said that when the people walk in choshech, they will see the or gadol. For which the Medrash Tanchuma says, this is the sechar for those who are omel in Torah Shebal Peh. And in many, many ways, of course, that describes, first of all, I don't want to say we're towards the end of this month, because that really would be not a good way of talking about Chaim Shalevitz. He used to say that when he was a bacher, there was the Zman, and then there was a short Bein HaZman. Right? Now there's the beginning of the Zman and the end of the Zman. We kind of add on like weeks and weeks of Rifyan. You know, well, the first few weeks of the Zman, we're not really ready yet. And the last few weeks of the Zman, we're not really ready yet. He says, you can't really do that. You know, we are, Baruch Hashem, we are very far from the end of this month. But we are entering a period where sometimes there might be a certain weakness, a little bit, person thinking about the summer already. So the Chayshech is higher in this time. But remember, the Chayshech is what brought us the Kayach of Torah Shebal Peh, which is the Chayshech of struggle. And through, that's Himlech Ches, right? The Ches, which is Chayshech, became the melech over the re'iyah. But precisely it is that gives us the ability to access the hidden light that is within the chayshach, that's merumos in the kutso shilat. Again, I apologize for being perhaps overly Kabbalistic, lefi ar madrega, and certainly these are ideas that are way, way beyond our madrega. And I, of course, include myself in that statement as well. But I think it gives us a power here because it makes us realize that sometimes we think we're just running around in circles because sometimes we don't walk away with all of the clarity that we need and we got to keep on going. But you have to understand that it's precisely that yegia, precisely that work, precisely that effort that by walking in that chayshech, you're zeicha to the or gadol, the or gadol. And therefore, I hope that this could be a source of chizuk to us as we go through the last weeks of Zman to understand that this is the time when one could be zeichet to the greatest light, a light that was so elevated, it didn't even find its concrete revelation in the external world. It is gonos for the long day Torah Shebal Peh. That's what Rav Tzadok says again. This is a phenomenally deep thought, but one that I think could be very moving and a great source of chizuk. I want to mention another thought of Rav Tzadok that is bichlal not here at all. It's somewhere totally in a different part of the Torah. But I think it's also important to gabi the idea of chayshech. He goes on the kasha. It's a kasha that the Pnei Yeshua asks. And that is, you know, the Gemara says, you know, we know that we daven shachris and mincha. But we know that Me'ikir Hadin, Tfilas Arvis, davening Ma'ariv, not Kriyashma, Kriyashma is Daraisa, of course, but the Shmon Esrei of Arvis, we paskin, is a reshus, was originally an optional prayer. And of course, I hasten to add that Bezman Hazeh, it's a Chi of Gomor, because it has been Mekubal by Klal Yisrael as a Chi of Gomor, but Meikir Hadin, it was a reshus. So the Achrayim asked the Kasha, if we say that Avraham Avinu was Mesakein Shachris, and Yitzchak was Mesakein Mincha, and Yaakov was Mesakein Arvis, why should it be that the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu is optional when the tefillah of Avraham and Yitzchak are chiyuvim? Yaakov Avinu is called Bechir Shebi Avais, the greatest of the Avais. His tefillah should be inferior. So the Pnei Yoshua, Taka wants to answer, that there is a machlokas in the Gemara if the origin of the three tefillahs are because of the Avais, or the origin of the three tefillahs is because of the Korbanos. And the Pnei Yeshua wants to say that if it's because of the Korbanos, we can understand why Ma'ariv is optional, because Shachris is because of the Korban Tamid of the morning, and Mincha is because of the Korban Tamid of the afternoon, and Ma'ariv is only if there were leftover limbs that were not consumed, so you can burn them all night, but there's no chiyuv to have any leftovers, so that's why it's a reshus. So the Pnei Yeshua wants to say that the machlokas in the Gemara, if Ma'ariv is a chiyuv or a reshus, is connected to the other machlokas, if the tfilos are avos or korbanos, meaning avos would be chova, and korbanos would be reshus. This is what the Pnei Yeshua says, but the problem is, it's not miyashiv the Rambam, because the Rambam, according to the Pnei Yeshua, has inconsistent psukim. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that the tfilos were miyusad by the Avais. Avram tikein liyotzecha latzav to daven shachris, Yitzchak is misakin mincha, Yaakov tikein arvis, and yet the Rambam paskins as well tfilos arvis reshus. So you got a problem there. How could it be a reshus if the Rambam says that tfilos are because of the Avos? And Rav Tzadok basically says the following, and this, I think, indirectly has a shaychus to Thomas as well. He says, each tefillah, even though we say the same words, each tefillah is connected to a different emotional connection to Hashem. The morning prayer, morning is a time of hope, optimism, simcha, a new day. Even when a person is sick, they say in the morning they feel a little better. There's hope. The birds are singing as if to say, you know, it'll be okay today. So the shayrish of tefillah shachris is hakaras hatov, gratitude for the chaste Hashem. That's shachris. Mincha, which ideally you pray before shkia, we have mincha gedola taka, I'll try not to keep it to mincha ketana. We have mincha gedola, but mincha ketana is dimdume chama. You already see the lengthening shadows of the evening as the sun is about to go down. That represents the prayer of panic. That's the shaychus to Yitzchak, because remember the 400 years of galus began from the birth of Yitzchak, and that's when you still have the birchas Hashem, you're still in Eretz Yisrael, you still have everything, but you're beginning to feel it slipping away. Rav Tzadok says, the emotions of shachris and mincha are chiyuvim, because gratitude for the chastei Hashem is axiomatic. Even the animal has gratitude. Yeshayo says, Yada shor kainehu. The ox knows the person who feeds it. Chamor evus balav. Mincha? When things are slipping away, that's the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. Meaning, when you're in sakana and you're losing things, you turn to Hashem. But Ma'ariv is very different. If shachris is the prayer of gratitude, and mincha is the prayer of panic, Ma'ariv is the prayer of emuna. Yaakov Avinu was not in danger of losing things. Yaakov hit rock bottom. He was 63 years old. He's running away for his life. He's leaving the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. He's going to an environment of Lavan where there's a Ma'aridika pachat, that spiritually he will be destroyed. And Yaakov is aware of this. He has no money. Eliphaz took care of that. Yaakov is a single person. He's not married. He's 63 years old. Yaakov Avinu is not in the matzav of Hakaras HaTov for the Chasdei Hashem. He hasn't seen it right now. Yaakov Avinu is not even like Yitzchak praying that it shouldn't, the day shouldn't turn into darkness. Yaakov's prayer is the darkness of the night, precisely because in his life he is experiencing the darkness of the night. Rav Tzadok says, the optionality of Arvis does not stem because it's inferior to the other prayers, but it represents such a high madrega that we have to try to reach it. But we can't always be matzliach. Everybody can be expected to be grateful, and everybody can be expected to pray to Hashem when they have brachas that are slipping away. But how many people are capable of seeing the or even in the darkest moments? How many people are capable of having emunah even in the concentration camps? David HaMelech says, "Lahagid ba'boker chastecha, in the morning of my life I see your kindness. V'emunascha ba'leilais, but in the darkness of my life I have my emunah." So tefillas arvis is a remez to see the light. Again, it goes back to the same theme. If Tammuz is that within the chayshach of Torah Shebaal Peh we see the or, Ma'ariv is a reminder that within the chayshach of life we have to have emuna and see the light. Of course, this is a time of tzara in the calendar, and it's a time of tzara for Am Yisrael Bichlal. We have the three Bachrim who are still gone from us without any type of trace or without any explanation. We have Gezeros against B'nai Torah, against the learning of Torah. It's an Eisara. We live in a world which is far from secure, even in a political way. It's an Eisara. We live in a time of Chayshech. And it's very hard sometimes to have emunah that there's a God that loves us, cares about us. But this too is our avodah in tefillah as well, to have emunah in Hashem even in dark and challenging times, the madrega of Yaakov Avinu. And here too, I just want to add that this is also something that we can think about. Baruch Hashem, Yerushalayim is not like the small towns that only have 1 minyan and 1 shul. Baruch Hashem, we have a choice of shuls, and you can get a shachris at 5 a.m., you can get a shachris at 12 noon. Although I wouldn't automatically say that. That would be a kosher zman to be davening shachris. And yet I do want to point out that the Gemara tells us there's a special segula to also daven in the place where we learn Torah. Because then you have a combination, a symbiotic combination of the kayach of Torah and the kayach of tefillah, in which we are mechazik each other, we help each other both in our learning and in our davening. And in both cases, from the chayshech, we have the or of Torah Shebaal Peh, in Torah learning, and through tefillah, the or of emunah that enlightens the chayshech that we are surrounded with. And once again, these two things walk hand in hand. Chazon Ish used to say that it's not shayach for a person to have a true aliyah in Torah unless they're makasher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah. Tefillah b'kavana, tefillah b'tzibor, and indeed Chazal tell us, tefillah even in the makim, where a person learns Torah as well. So I hope again, once again, although these are inyanim that need chizik the whole year, but particularly in these months, in the month of Tammuz, which is mesugal, to be maitzi the or, mitaych the chayshech, we should try to be mechazik ourselves in our limud ha-Torah, and in our tefillah, particularly our tefillah b'tzibor, and our tefillah in the makom where we learn. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu hear the tefillahs of Am Yisrael. May Am Yisrael, and particularly the three Bachrim, but all of Am Yisrael, be zeichet to a Yeshua Gedayla B'karav. May we see the Bias HaMashiach B'davka before Tisha B'Av this year. May this Tisha B'Av be the day of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Bias HaMashiach B'mehirav Yameinu.